Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
Today, the U.S. Supreme Court hears a challenge to what's known as the Massachusetts Buffer Zone Law. It requires anti-abortion protesters to stay at least 35 feet away from entrances to clinics that provide abortions. The petitioners argue that that law violates their free speech rights and prevents them from having meaningful conversations with clinic patients. At a Planned Parenthood clinic in Boston, abortion opponents Evelyn Musto of Brockton and Ruth Schiavone of Norwood said the law prevents them from trying to persuade women not to end their pregnancies.
If we could get up closer, we could, you know, be loving to them and show them the help that we have for them.
To limit our free speech now, that we start to talk to the girl, and the minute she leaves, goes into that buffer zone, we're stopped.
The buffer zone law was prompted by the 1994 murders of two Brookline Clinic workers, Shannon Lowney and Leanne Nichols, who were shot by John Salvi. Shannon's brother, Liam Lowney, supported the state law when it was enacted in 2007. 7 years later, he tells us why he'll be in Washington for today's hearing.
It's my opportunity to be a representative for Shannon and to keep her memory alive and keep what she believed is her mission at the forefront of the real purpose behind this law. It was really important to Shannon that women have unfettered access to affordable reproductive health care. That's why she worked at Planned Parenthood in the first place.
Can you tell us a little bit about Shannon, a little more?
Absolutely. When Shannon was killed, she was 25, and I always say that I really like to define Shannon by who she was and what her choices were in those 25 years, which were pretty amazing. She was a graduate of Boston College, magna cum laude in the degree in history. She had, while at Boston College, spent some time in Ecuador where she worked with some impoverished kids. She spent some time in Maine after graduation working with children, educating them on child abuse. Shannon really was raised in a household where we were expected to do work and make our community better, and she lived that to the fullest in her 25 years.
And a Catholic household.
It was, yep.
Yeah. Devoutly, would you say?
I think we were definitely raised with Catholic values and beliefs, but our parents really, you know, raised us in a house where we were expected to challenge institutional beliefs and, again, come to whatever decisions we needed to make to fulfill our own individual missions.
Yeah. Is that, do you think how, I mean, did you ever talk about it with Shannon? How do you reconcile the church belief on abortion, which, of course, is very anti-abortion, and then being able to also have the belief of wanting to provide access to reproductive services like abortion to women?
Yeah, we didn't really, I wouldn't say that we really had that specific conversation. Shannon's focus was not just on abortion, although she was pro-choice. She had that belief system. But her belief was that folks, especially people and women who have limited access to money and resources, should have access to quality health care. And she believed that they provided that at Planned Parenthood, and that's why she worked there.
And what do you think that this buffer zone law has done?
What I think it's done is it's allowed for, and first of all, I think we should say it's worked, right? It balances freedom of speech with public safety. It allows women to access the services that they need free from intimidation. It allows the employees who show up there to offer those women services the ability to get to work and do that really important work free from intimidation, while allowing those who don't believe in the work the ability to speak freely.
Right, right. Now, of course, those who don't believe in the work say those restrictions are an infringement of their free speech rights, and they say, you know, giving people unfettered access to clinics where they believe something wrong is happening is infringing on their rights to be able to say that they think it's wrong.
But the place to have that dialogue is available, and it's still available now, even with the buffer zone. It's available in our courts, it's available in our legislatures, it's available in our streets and around our water coolers. But the right that they have to block someone's access to medical care, to get in their way, to intimidate them while they're trying to walk through a doorway, is just where you need to draw the line.
Right. But that's what they want to do. They want to get them to change their minds. And they say that they are able to do that. And, you know, their mission is to try to do that. And the closer they are, the easier it is for them to accomplish that.
And I understand that. But the law is what it is here in Massachusetts, and it works. And I don't believe that it infringes on the right to free speech.
Right. And that's the law that's at stake now before the U.S. Supreme Court. Are you surprised that it's made it to this level of a challenge?
I'm not. I don't, you know, I'm not a constitutional law professor. I'm a brother of a young woman who had a very important mission in mind. And so really my place is not as much to speak on that or to speak as to what the court's decision was in coming to deciding to take a look at this. But my purpose here is to make sure that Shannon's voice is heard. It was silenced 19 years ago, and I want to make sure that her voice has an opportunity to be heard today.
What do you think has changed? Anything? What's the biggest change since this law was first put into effect in 2007? And there was a lot of wrangling about it from the day the shootings happened in 1994 till 2007 when it was approved. And now here we are still arguing about it. And it's 2014, and now it's before the U.S. Supreme Court. What have been the biggest changes over those 20 years now?
Well, I would say for me, nothing has changed. Shannon's still gone. However, we don't hear about the violence in our Massachusetts clinics or outside of them as much as we used to. And I know that the people still show up to protest and people still are on the sidewalks outside the clinic. But you don't hear the same level as you used to.